How important is the accuracy of the information you take in every day? Have you ever considered that the American media, generally speaking, has a vested interest in keeping its audience focused on their narrative? And additionally, have you considered whether or not the narrative carried by the mainstream media in America is actually true? The late comedian George Carlin famously quipped, "I like to form my own opinions, so I do this real moron thing. It's called thinking." Stay tuned for my conversation with noted original thinker and questioner John B. Wells in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to us on Global Star Radio Network Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Talk America Radio Network Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the Prepper Broadcasting Network Mondays at 2 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My guest today is John B. Wells. John is a nationally known media analyst, radio personality, and broadcaster. He founded and hosts Caravan to Midnight, a daily subscription-based television and radio program with an international audience. He also currently hosts the ARC Midnight radio program on KLIF News 570 in Dallas, Texas. John's website is caravantomidnight.com. Welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, John.
Nice to be with you.
John,
very, very nice.
Well, we met in Dallas in March, and I was just thrilled to be able to meet you and shake your hand. I have appreciated your work for a long time, and I think it's fair to say, I'm going to say it, and it's my opinion, so it's fair to say, right? I consider you to be one of the pioneers of what's come to be known as the alternative news genre, and very much appreciate you coming on Soaring Eagle Radio to discuss some of these things that are on our radar screens today. You just finished a weekend at the Red Pill Expo in Montana. You were joined there by such people as Christopher Monckton, G. Edward Griffin, Patrick Wood, John Rappaport, and many others. And I can imagine that it was very well attended, and that those that presented gave the attendees a lot of information to share with their family and friends. And I noticed, John, I went to the schedule and noticed that you presented on day one, and your presentation was titled, "It's All an Illusion." What was that talk focused on, John?
Well, I suppose it starts with one of the former CIA directors stated that once everything the American people believe is a lie, we will have completed our mission. And we see that it's just amazing how unabashedly they, with the capital T, will just tell us and show us, almost as if this is what we're doing. and there's nothing you can do about it. This is the level of megalomania that many people in authority, whether it's financial authority or financially fueled authority in government, this is how they feel. We're just to do as we're told, and everything will be fine. And that is hardly my understanding of the so-called American way. And so, then there's the aspect of journalism, broadcast journalism, which is really an oxymoron when you think about it.
Yes.
These people have come on the air, and whether it's cable or whether it's the free airwaves, and have just said pretty much anything that they want to, and pretty much with impunity. Yeah. And that's changing now because enough people have awakened to start that snowball rolling down that mountain. And it's gathering speed and size every day. You notice James O'Keefe struck again. That thing about the bull stuff phrase and just stuff phrase over and over and over again as they completely confess that, hey, it's about numbers. It's not, we don't have any proof. Yeah. We don't have any proof. We have nothing to go on. So yeah, that's what it is. And then, of course, now three of their prime journalists have resigned. I think the president of the corporation should resign.
Yeah.
With no bailout.
Yeah.
You know, these people have utterly failed the American people, the American public.
Yeah.
They are a disgrace, in my opinion, to journalism. We were supposed to be, but. That said, one only has to read what Thomas Jefferson himself said about what you're going to get from a newspaper. You know, yeah. It was not complimentary at all.
That's it.
And so, you know, it's old Solomon. You can't beat Solomon.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
It's just that these delivery systems are able to project these lives into so many more homes and so much quicker than ever before. So that's where we are now. And that's, the illusion of stability in government, the illusion that, oh, you know, we have these long spells of peace punctuated by the occasional state of war. Well, that's simply not true. It's long states of war with the occasional spike of peace while they're getting ready for the next war, mm-hmm. which is already on the drawing board. And the time that war is launched will depend on, the economic climate more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what it was about.
Yeah, wow. Very, very interesting. Hearing you say that, I'm wondering which one they think would be more effective and fulfill the purpose, short-term purpose at least, for what they want to accomplish in America. Because there's a lot of talk going around, John, and I think it's more serious than it has ever been, about a civil war here in America. There is a division in this country that I've never seen. I'm 61 years old now, and I've never seen anything like it. But on the other hand, do they want war with Russia, which I think is just absolute lunacy? Well, either one's absolute lunacy in my view, and it would have to be ginned up by these folks that are called variously the deep state or the shadow government, however you want to refer to them. But this next war could be the war that ends all wars, and I don't mean that in a complimentary way. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's interesting. As a matter of fact, on tonight's episode of Caravan to Midnight, I address this very thing. These journalists, look, it says in Scripture it's written in Scripture that the tongue holds the power of life and death.
Yes.
And these so-called journalists have made a mockery of that profession. At the same time, they've made a mockery of the entire citizenry because it's widely perceived by people outside the United States that this is how we feel. In other words, they represent us. They publicly represent us and do it improperly. And they seem to be completely oblivious to the fact that sooner or later, somebody's going to get tired of this. They're going to perceive this as some kind of a threat, some sort of inside information, and just decide that they've been insulted enough. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why people believe these governments are these impersonal machines that you can say what you want and it has no effect. That's simply not true. Yeah. And now, I mean, what is the world to make of a citizenry that tolerates this level of dishonesty in their public media? And so the chances of starting a war with Russia, I think that, that some of these people like George Soros and others are so completely insane, and they have for a long time believed that a nuclear war is winnable, survivable, no problem, not as bad as everybody thinks. Hey, look at Nagasaki. It's a swinging town now. We can all recover. The most important thing to remember is that 90% of the casualties killed and wounded in any war are civilian.
Yeah.
And when you stack that up against 90% of the general public are simply not capable of independent thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that there's a correlation there. It's because the people allow it. Mm-hmm. But now the people have decided, say, aren't we supposed to be running this? Yeah, and you're behind. Mm-hmm. So you better get with it. And they are getting with it. And I've got to tell you, it gives me hope, because I never thought a day would come when I would behold the American flag, and instead of going, ah, look at that, that's beautiful, now I look at it and go, ugh. I'm uncomfortable with it now, and it does not please me in any way, shape, or form to say such a thing.
Yeah.
But we have let the wrong people represent us for too long, and now that flag does not represent what I was raised to believe.
That is so very true, John. Yeah. So very true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a veteran. Yeah, I served served in the Army for 4 years, and it meant something then. Of course, that was many, many years ago, and before the belly of the beast, if we could call it that, has been exposed. And that's one of the things you mentioned. Things are starting to roll downhill, to snowball, to grow larger and larger. That's an awareness of the average American citizen, an awareness of what is really going on today, and the fact that we've been taken advantage of. We've just been flat out lied to. And I think one of the most brazen psyops that they've run on American citizens is this continued, and although it's fraying now, fraying all around and just about ripped in two, is this Trump-Russia narrative. Does that story have any life left in it, John, or is that pretty much done now?
I think it's pretty much done. The hardcore leftists will continue to try and beat that drum. But look, I can't remember who it was. It was one of those bunch of girls sitting around talking morning or afternoon or Sunday shows. I don't even remember. But this little gal gets on there and says that Donald Trump believes that all Mexicans are rapists and murderers, and she gets away with it. Mr. Trump at no time said that all Mexicans were rapists and murderers. He didn't even say Mexicans. He said, we got people coming across the border, and among them are criminals. Some of them are murderers and rapists. Well, he's entirely correct. But now this has turned into Donald Trump said all Mexicans are rapists and murderers. Mm-hmm. And this is nothing. This is not an inaccuracy. It is a barefaced lie.
Yes.
But they get away with it. She should be fired for saying such a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you couldn't even say Alpha Sierra Sierra on a rock and roll station years ago.
That's right.
You know, you'd get fired for doing such a thing. You couldn't do it. But now, they can say whatever they want, and they sit there with their faces suffused with self-righteousness. And frankly, that's an emotion as dangerous as hate.
That's true.
So,
that's very true. It clouds your thinking. It makes you do irrational things, and it leads to, well, in many cases, violence, either physically or verbally. And we're warned about that in the scripture too, for sure. John, the recent attempted murder of Representative Scalise doesn't seem to have toned down the rhetoric of the leftist progressive Marxists among us. Chief among them is, of course, Hillary Clinton. She stated days after the Scalise shooting that the GOP was the death party.
Hillary Clinton is a notorious criminal and a liar.
Yeah.
And I think that anything that insane woman has to say should be rejected out of hand the moment that it comes out of her mouth. I can't recall a single occasion when she spoke the truth about anything.
Yeah.
I may be missing something here, but I've got a pretty good memory.
Yeah.
And to watch her strut around on that stage in that yet another pantsuit, she's as bad as olive oil. She's got a closet full of clothes, and it's all the same dress, you know. Struts around talking, well, Donald does this, and Donald does that. She and Bill Clinton have been dirty for years. They're not any less dirty now than they've always been. They're disgusting human beings, and even her own party wants her to go away now because she's such an abysmal failure.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't pay too much attention to her. She's going to vapor lock and be out of here one of these days anyway. I'll probably have a drink when that day comes.
Yeah. It reminds me of just how crazy it was when they, the DNC appointed Perez as their head, their coordinator, the head of the DNC. He's leading them down a path, I think, that I think they're going to have to fire him and get somebody in there, because the message from the DNC, if Hillary is the representative, if Perez is developing the strategies, DNC is done. They need to make some wholesale changes, because Americans aren't buying their message anymore, are we?
No, they're not. And how about his second in command? I can't even think of his name at this moment. He's more radical than the actual chair.
No kidding. Now his name, I don't know who that is. I'll have to look that up and see who that's. And that's a statement in and of itself, that he's more radical than Perez. Perez came out with both guns blazing as soon as he was appointed to that position. How about Johnny Depp, John?
There's no reason to suggest that somebody who likes to beat up his girlfriend, drink, spend outrageous amounts of money on virtually nothing, and likes to play dress up should be sought out as some sort of an oracle of knowledge and enlightenment. I don't understand. So I think they've also played the celebrity card about as long as they can. See, a lot of these people are closet conservatives, and now some of them are just plain crazy. But they are. I mean, they're artists. Everybody's heard the expression crazy artist. Well, there's the bad crazy and there's the good crazy. I think Johnny Depp is a fantastic actor. I like him. All that Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, you got to be pretty much into your art to be able to even pull something like that off. Yeah. But why we would ever, you know, go to those people for advice on how to live our lives or what political inclination we should have or anything else, is beyond me, and that goes for Bono.
Yeah,
but every time, but their bosses run them. It's just understood. I was out in L.A. for several years, about six of them, and it's one of those things where I had a lot of people out there that I was friends with, and affectionate acquaintances. You know what I mean? We liked each other. We didn't really have the timeline to be friends, but we were close acquaintances, and we liked and respected each other. But they could not let that be visible. Why? Because I was from Texas and George W. Bush was president, and that put me on a blacklist right there. I mean, these people are so short-sighted and moronic that they think just because you're from Texas and the Republican that they don't want is in office, well, somehow you're part and parcel to his being in the president's office. So it's juvenile thinking. But again, let's go back to that 90% of the people out there are not capable of independent thinking. So you can see why they would rely on this mechanism to further their agenda. And their agenda is collectivism and nothing more. I said global communism on Coast to Coast AM, and that, among other things, got me fired. Which was fine. The two greatest things that happened to me in the radio business was being hired at Coast to Coast AM and then being fired from Coast to Coast AM, because now I can do what I want. You know, you can only say the globalists. Don't say Obama. You can say the globalists. Well, I can think of somebody right now that uses the term globalists all the time. For some reason, this person is afraid to name names. Unless it's some outrageous thing that nobody with any real sanity would do. Globalists. I want a name. Yeah. I want a name and I want a number.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, yep. I mean, why pussyfoot around with the these people? They're out of line, and the longer we extend their careers, shall we say, well, the more peril we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you're absolutely right. Americans have been groomed, if that's a good word to describe it, especially the younger generation. They've been groomed to believe that actors and people that have a degree of fame, for whatever reason, are also equally intelligent and worth our time to listen to them. And that is a tragedy of monumental proportions. But I think, again, going back to your earlier statement, that the snowball is starting to gather speed and size, and folks are waking up to the fact that, no, actually, these people, if they're not closet conservatives, then they're going along for the ride, and we shouldn't be listening to anything they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Well, let's talk economics for a moment, John. I was looking over your recent guest list, and you really have some great people on the show, experts in a lot of different fields. This might be a good time to let our listeners know that they can go to caravantomidnight.com and they can subscribe to the show. There's a place there to purchase a subscription to Caravan to Midnight and take advantage of John's interviews with these many really fantastic people. One of them I noticed right away was John Titus. You had him on, and he was discussing economics and monetary policy. And one of the things that stuck out for me, and I really enjoyed, I like these phrases that people use, but John Titus calls the Federal Reserve System the banking mafiocracy. I love that phrase, the banking mafiocracy. I thought that was a great, great way to say it, because the Federal Reserve System really is a mafia-controlled operation.
Absolutely it is. You know, it, well, anything, look, people kill you. You walk down Sunset Boulevard in L.A. and people kill you over a cigarette. So what do you think they'll do over a few billions of dollars? They'll kill a few million people without even blinking an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. It has been made deliberately complex, very, very difficult to understand. And but in the end, people will say, well, the dollar's lost 98% of its value since 1913. And then people will go, they'll roll their eyes and think, oh, brother. Yeah, well, it's been 104 years since 1913. But what they don't realize is simply this, and this is why on a long enough timeline, I keep using the word timeline, I know, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use this little analogy, this little fable. Jack and Jill are in a can. They are married, and they have a baby. Jack and Jill each have a dollar. And the baby is born, looks up at his parents and says, well, where's my dollar? So Jack and Jill look at each other and then shrug a little bit, and they just each tear off a little piece of their dollar and give it to the baby. And they have another child, and so on and so on. So, of course, it has lost its buying power because of the sheer number of people who are using that dollar.
Yes.
So that's why it's always about bailout. One of the speakers at the Red Pill Expo was Robert Kiyosaki, the man who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he is such a cool guy. He's just something else. Most people don't know he was formerly a Marine Cobra gunship pilot.
I did not.
And
know
just
that.
A serious cat, just a Marine mm-hmm. Cobra pilot. And he's of Japanese descent. So that's probably the last adversary you'd ever want to run up against, because this guy is, he will get you. And he said that basically the situation that we're in here is shut up. Do what you're told, go to school, get a job. You are not encouraged to do any independent thinking yes. or become an entrepreneur. You are not encouraged. In fact, you are discouraged from doing that. So his poor dad had a PhD.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And his rich dad did not. And so that's it.
Yeah.
And he echoed something that my dad told me long ago, which is, if you can read, you can teach yourself absolutely anything.
Amen.
Which is why I was a weird little kid. I was reading on the level of a high school senior who made really good grades when I was in the first grade, which the way my dad trained me was for, I believe that he was enough of a visionary that he knew that I would be in a work somewhat like this one, because he taught me to look things up. Well, going back to money here, there's at Observer.com, there's an article by Ken Curson, K-U-R-S-O-N. Illinois is Venezuela. Yes. And the solution is cryptocurrency. Do you know, these people in Illinois are in such trouble, it is absolutely astounding. Well, who runs Illinois? Well, the Democrats, of course.
Yep.
They haven't had a budget for 2 years. They're sitting on top of over $15 billion in unpaid bills. Mm. And according to the writer, the state is, to use a phrase that State Comptroller Susana Mendoza borrowed from Bonfire, quote, hemorrhaging money as the state's spending obligations have exceeded receipts by an average of over $600 million per month over the last year.
Good grief.
Now, according to the Constitution, a state cannot declare bankruptcy, but they're literally talking about dividing the state up among the surrounding neighbor states. It's insane.
It's
completely insane.
Just hearing you say that, John, and I have noticed a few of these maps starting to pop up now. Most people are doing it kind of half-heartedly or from a satirical point of view, but this is very serious what you're talking about here. I want to say that I read a figure that Illinois' total debt that they're unable to pay is something approaching $800 billion. And of course, that includes all their entitlement programs, all their pensions that they can't pay. It's just absolutely incredible that they've been allowed to get to this place. But again, to your point, it was because of the leadership of the state for the last 60, 70 years.
Well, 7 out of 10 of the poorest cities in this country are run by Democrats, even these idiots down here in Dallas. And I would like to just state for the record that there's a big difference between Texas and Dallas. Mm. This is Illuminati Central. really is. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a little while. But I really mean it. I'm actually not joking. Yeah. These people invested in Hawaiian villas and rare wood from Uruguay and so forth, and they can't pay the pensions for the Dallas cops or the firefighters. Well, just can't do it. So you show me a Democrat-run city, and I'll show you a city that's got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, this does not mean that everybody who claims to be a Republican is my friend, because I'm watching them, too. And a lot of them are neocons, which means nothing more than the left front flank has infiltrated the right flank, and that's why we can't get anything done in Congress. If you don't mind, let me just run something past you. This was a junior high school bad boys bathroom level script, but it was to disguise the real message.
Okay.
And it's called Operation: Endgame. And I didn't recognize very many of the actors in there, but some. Designated survivor, the Asian gal that this FBI girl, she was in that movie, and two or three other ones too. But the deal was this: a new recruit comes into this super secret security deal, and you got to go down an elevator that goes way down to the bottom, many, many, many stories below the ground, and he's going to join Omega Team. So he's getting broken in by a guy whose code name is Chariot, who drinks all day long from a flask that's shaped like a pistol, and he drinks from the muzzle end of it. Okay, that pretty much sums up the whole movie. Mm-hmm. But here's the point. And you've got some eerie quotations from various presidents at the beginning of the movie, and then it turns into this really campy, just absurdly profane presentation. But this is what really grabbed me. Well, what do we do at Omega Team? Well, we try to prevent the end of the world. Well, wait a minute. Who's trying to do that? Well, that's Alpha Team. Alpha Team's trying to bring about the end of the world. Yes. And so one more time, what do? Well, we try to stop them. Well, don't they cancel each other out? And Chariot goes, sweet nothing, the black heart of our democracy. Now, if you think about that, it's absolutely spot on, because nothing happens in Congress. This is why the left is going insane at the advent of Mr. Trump's presidency.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, for all the world to hear, I love Mr. Trump. I don't care. I don't care if he gives little kind of like, those little mafioso kind of hand gestures. I want him dead. This Kim Jong-un, I want him dead. I want his family dead. His pets dead. You know, it's that thing. Mm-hmm. But he did not say that. I'm acting out.
Yes.
But people pick on his hair. Mm-hmm. People saying stuff like rape Melania. Mm-hmm. The people on the left are criminally insane.
They are.
Because if they ever got the chance to do these things, they would. Mm-hmm. And so, back to finance, this is going to fall apart, and it's going to fall apart in the not-too-distant future. It is known and understood that it's going to fall apart. Yeah. Now, it may only last 2 weeks, but think what would happen if we had a two-day trucker strike, and suddenly all the grocery stores are empty. Mm-hmm. Look at how people act when they're trying to get out of a concert. Look how they act when there's a tornado. They run all over each other. They'll kill each other in their panic and in their anger. So now is the time for all good men and women to buckle down and prepare to do what you have to do, because the odds compel it that something rough is going to be visited upon us. And if those in power handle things as they have traditionally and historically, it'll be a war that they will use to try and bail us out, just exactly the same way that they bailed us out in World War II. Everybody knows that that was a setup. Now we know it. Mm-hmm. Oh, those horrible Japanese. Well, but what they don't know is how the United States, by proxies, including even Chennault with the Flying Tigers over in China, fighting the Japanese. Japanese were getting it on with everybody. They were fighting the Russians. They were fighting the Chinese. They were a warlike empire with the whole Bushido mentality. Yeah. They were brutal. They were horrible. But we wanted to fight them.
Yeah.
We wanted to conquer the Pacific. And so when I read my dad's war letters, he hadn't even been 21 years old for what? Let's see. Not quite 3 months. He'd been 21 years old. USS Maryland on December 7, 41. And some of his letters, which I am so happy that I have.
Oh, absolutely.
He writes that, the ships are going out. They stay out for about 2 weeks. Then they come back for a couple of weeks. Then they go out for two more weeks. Well, that's how they timed it. They timed it beautifully so that those carriers would not be in port. FDR knew exactly what was going to happen. He wanted it.
Yeah.
Hitler never wanted to go to war with England or the United States. So people say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have to believe me. Look it up.
Yeah.
Hitler and his buddies, his crew, they tried to prevent a war with England. They dropped a leaflet saying, we don't want this. We really don't want this. But riddle me this. Why did England sign a mutual protection pact with Poland?
Yeah, right.
I mean, why?
Exactly.
So it's all a setup, folks. None of this stuff happens by accident. You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi said in Star Wars, in my experience, there's no such thing as coincidence. Well, I be John Kenobi, and I say it's all coincidence. It's accidents that don't exist.
Yeah.
None of this is an accident.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, John. And there's been so much ink used up for books and that describe all of this. It's out there for people that want to know it. It's available for anyone to find out. I think more and more people, again, they are. And so back to your point that folks should be utilizing this new awareness of exactly what's going on today, and they're not being deceived any longer. If the economy, and I agree with you, at some point we're going to have a disconnect.
Absolutely.
The duration, I don't know. The severity, I think it's going to be severe enough that we're going to see things happen in America, especially our inner cities, that we've not ever seen. And I'm talking violence. I'm talking to the degree that the military might be called up to quarantine cities. And John, as soon as I say that, especially as a pastor, some people think, wow, you've really got a dark view of things, a dystopian outlook on our future. And it's like, well, above all things, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am called to understand what's going on right in front of my eyes and to tell the truth about it. Not to try and sugarcoat it, not to try and hide it, not to try and divert attention from it, but to say, this is what's happening, and this is what it means, and because of that, this is what you should be doing. So, what should we tell people that they should be doing right now as far as, should they be putting back some precious metals? Should they be investing in silver and gold, putting back some cash? They most certainly should be buying some bullets. And they should be getting some food and water stored away. Would you agree with that?
God, guns, gear, grub, and a getaway plan. You don't want to be stuck in your high-rise when it hits the proverbial fan. You don't. You will not be able to get out. If there is any disruption on that level, you're going to have idiots out there popping rounds into transformers and bringing down the electric grid in localized areas. You're not going to want to take your car and try and drive through this. Look, I learned so many things when I became a pilot. And one of them, perhaps the most important thing, is stay ahead of the airplane. Do not get behind the airplane. Do not go into reaction mode. If you do, you're liable to wind up cracking the thing up. You don't want to do that. Always think in terms of what are the next two things that I need to do. And you'll stay ahead of the airplane. Well, this country... A country, I say country, this country is in some pretty serious trouble. It will only be the character of the American people that will keep us ahead of the airplane. Keeping in mind that a country is simply a landmass. We are supposed to be a nation. It's written in Scripture, nation shall rise up against nation. What does that mean? It means races against other races. Mm-hmm. You got the nation of this one and the nation of that one. You got the Native American. You got the Indian nation. You got the nation of Islam. Nation, nation, nation. You have one nation invading another. You have Islam invading Western Europe. Well, that's nation against nation, and we see their behavior. And it all the time. No, it's a religion of peace, peace. I'll tell you something. You may think this is completely ridiculous, but it's really not. The Three Stooges was a series that went all the way from the 30s up until, I guess, the 50s. And our parents didn't want us to watch it because it was actually adult content. It was really more than pie throwing.
Right.
And you remember when they, you might have seen the one where three guys are sitting around in what looked like really expensive suits, and they're going, you know, our munitions factories have only made $500 million buckaroos profit for the first quarter. Why, we're practically starving. Well, let me remind the gentleman that the kingdom of Moronica is at peace, but there's no money in peace. We must start a war. So they get the king to abdicate, and they want to appoint a dictator, and that turns out to be Mo. Well, that's really true. We must start a war because our munitions factories have only made $500 million buckaroos for the first quarter. They're practically starving. You know what I mean? And then you remember the other one where the great big heavyset guy, he looked like a giant version of Sebastian Cabot with the beard and everything, comes in with his water pipe and gets Curly to smoke it. Here, I show you, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. And they sit down for their round table. And it's like, what we want is a corridor that goes through this way and that way. No, it's outrageous. And then they all stand up and start going, peace. We want peace. See, that's what they say. Oh, we want peace. But it's not what they want. What they want is control.
Yes.
If you will just try this out, whenever you hear, let me give you a crash course in analytics. This article that I just referenced about Illinois going bankrupt, by the time we've heard about it, certainly a half dozen other states are on the verge of bankruptcy.
That's right.
By the time you hear about it, that wagon is way down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's just how it is. These things are afoot. So what this is telling you is that this is not the only state that's going to, that they would declare bankruptcy, but they can't. And what, going back to Robert Kiyosaki, I'm connecting the dots now. Mm-hmm. The name of the game is bailout. How do these rich guys continue to have all this money? Because they get bailed out. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the legions of people who lost their homes, jobs, pensions, or anything. You must understand this. They don't care. They will tell you they care, but they don't. Just look at the behavior of the people involved in the last presidential campaign. Listen to their words. What did they say? Not how they said it, not what they look like, not what they were wearing, what they said. Mm-hmm. And that will give you pretty much everything you need to know. What are they not saying?
Yeah.
Well, that's the stuff that's the most important to you, is what they're not saying. So if you will read everything that comes out of what I call a, you know, MSM, mainstream media, I call it Ministry of Smoke and Mirrors.
That's a good one, John. Yeah.
Read it, interpret it in the exact opposite of the way it's presented to you, and you will have a glimpse at the truth. It's just the way it is. The Washington Post, a disgrace, in my opinion. Yeah. New York Times, forget about it.
Yeah.
Chicago, Illinois, that bastion of liberalism, Saul Alinsky, Obama, or whatever his name really is, mm-hmm. Clinton, all these others, Bill Ayers, all these people. Well, isn't it amazing? Looks like their little ideology isn't working out too well for the state. They've got the highest murder rate, I don't know, in the world, maybe. Mm-hmm. But Black Lives Matter. Well, just not to other black people, though, because they're out there killing each other big bleeding batches every weekend.
But
people are afraid to talk about these things. Why are people afraid to speak the truth? Because it is the most powerful enemy that evil has.
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
And these things are easy to figure out, but they're so easy and they're so obvious that it goes right past people.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. But I would also implore everybody listening to your program to understand you are a human being.
Yes.
You are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. Satan hates you.
Yes.
If he can't get you an overdose on heroin, well, then he'll settle for 5 years of abuse in prison for possession of a controlled substance. He will dazzle you with everything you could possibly want. And then, the moment you relax and you think you've got this, that's when he throws you under the bus and you are run over and destroyed. You are a human being. You can learn. But what you must do, and I've lived this, Mike, pray to the Lord.
Yes.
Do what you want, but I just say, I do not pray directly to Father. I pray in the name of his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, or I just go straight to Jesus, knowing that Father is listening. Mm-hmm. Ask him to give you wisdom.
Yes.
Ask him for supernatural wisdom.
Yeah.
Ask him that if it's his will, meaning if he's all right with this request, grant this. I'm asking you for it. I can't do this by myself. I can't.
Yeah.
The more I try to handle it, the more out of shape it gets. I'm at my wit's end. I need help. And then one of my favorite pastors in the world is First Baptist Church of Charles, down at First Baptist Church of Atlanta.
Charles Stanley.
Yes. I don't know what happened here. Excuse me. When he said, now people will pray and they'll say, oh God, help me. Oh, help me, help me. And then he does, and it's, okay, well, forget about God now. Don't need God anymore. The problem's gone.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
But people are going to have to get serious about their lives, because I'm an older guy now, and I remember the 80s like it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's,
isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I mean, look how fast this year's gone by. We're almost all the way through half of the year.
Yeah.
And the second half is going to go even faster, and there's going to be some turmoil here. A lot of people are saying September. I don't have any kind of a set date or a description of an event that's scheduled, and that schedule being set in stone.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a rough year, because they're not finished messing with Mr. Trump yet. because he is disrupting their entire agenda.
Yeah.
And it needs to be disrupted because it's an evil agenda. Mm-hmm. And look at this kid Seth Rich.
Yeah.
Oh, don't, you know, those weren't even mortal wounds. Yet they had cops swarming all over his room. One of the surgeons, if it's to be believed, it's just a report. I don't know this to be a fact, but he said, it's going to be pretty easy for people to figure out who I am because I was on duty that night, but I can't stay quiet about this. I was going to, we dressed him up and all that. I've seen these wounds before. They were not life-threatening. Guy didn't even know he was shot at first. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to wash it out and then wash him out in the morning and get him patched up. Well, they just let him go. They just let him go. Yeah. They wanted Seth Rich dead. All this stuff about the email leaks, Hillary Clinton and her, and she kept saying her private email account. Well, it wasn't a private email account. It was a private server that she was doing government business on, and it was an unsecured server.
Yes.
Now, here's the other part. Is the NSA, this wonderful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-recording, every fax, every text, every phone call, landline, cell phone, whatever, or is it not? So do we think they had those emails or do we not believe?
Yeah.
Do we think that they, I mean, Bezos mm-hmm. got a $600 million a year contract
yep.
To run cloud services for CIA. Mm-hmm. So do we think that they knew that, please, you know, without some really, really serious, serious manipulation through the Tor browser and everything else, you can find out exactly who sent what, when, and to whom. No problem. So either the NSA knows everything or they don't. So which is it? Mm-hmm. So why are they playing this game with us?
Yeah.
Now, am I all over the place here, or do you see this kind of gelling?
No, I do. Yeah, I absolutely do. And I've read and happen to believe that there's a thread that ties the Seth Rich really murder.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, he didn't die from the initial attack. I think they did him in after the fact, but that's all.
They
that's
did.
All, yeah.
They absolutely did. And look, I mean, how hard is this to figure out? Kid shot in the back, what, three times?
Mm-hmm.
But he still got his cell phone, his keys, his money, his wallet, his watch, and everything else.
Yes.
Didn't take anything.
Right.
Just decided to just shoot him down, right? Mm-hmm. He's the guy who did the leaking.
Yeah.
He's the guy who did the leaking. Exactly where it came from, because he knew that Hillary Clinton had stolen the nomination from Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Yep. And Bernie Sanders would not have won that election. But yep. Seth wanted to tell the truth, and it cost him his life.
That's
and
right.
And we should not back off of Seth Rich. We should
That's
not
right.
let this 27-year-old man just die
yeah.
for nothing.
Yeah.
We need to do something about this.
Yeah. That's what they're trying to do, John, is to completely bury it and distract us with other things.
Well, it's up to us to not let that happen.
That's exactly right.
I mean, we'll watch all these movies about these valiant truth tellers and these valiant investigators who just will not stop. So what, we're going to sit in our chair and eat popcorn and drink soda pop and admire this hero on the screen, but we're not going to do anything, right? Because we're phonies?
Yeah.
My father told me something very important. If you don't mind, I'll give it to you now.
Yes.
Failure to act on opposition becomes your position, and the very thing that prevents your progress becomes your way of life,
wow.
your false reality.
Wow. that's a beautiful way to see it, and it's absolutely true.
It is true.
Yeah, it is absolutely true.
Let me tell you something about the Red Pill Expo.
Yeah.
Want to hear something?
Yeah.
Now, this is your show, and I'm just doing all the talking.
That's good. They're listening to this episode, John, because you're on it. They hear me all the time, so you have the
floor. Bless them, each and every one, including people in CIA and NSA, because I'll tell you what, I know this for a fact. There are some good people in CIA, FBI, mm-hmm. and NSA, and DIA, and all the other ones. They are good people. They are competent, brilliant people, and not all of them are on board with this nonsense.
Yeah.
They are not.
I agree.
Okay? There are a lot of Eddie Snowdens out there.
Yeah, I agree.
And if there weren't any Edward Snowdens in there, what would they be stuck with? A rigid structure of enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't escape that. So don't think that just because I mentioned something about CIA or NSA that I'm dissing them all. I'm not.
Yeah,
they do some excellent work. And the only time we hear anything about them is when something messes up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the rest of the time, you know, they've saved a lot of people. They've done far more good than bad. It's their bosses that are the problem.
Yeah.
Like Brennan. I'm talking to you, Brennan.
Yeah.
Now, this is from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. Now, we got together up there in beautiful Montana, and all these wonderful speakers were there, and they were wonderful. One person up there that I objected to. But this is an article by Freddie Monares, M-O-N-A-R-E-S, Chronicle staff writer. Here's the title, Activists. Convention in Bozeman is alt-right recruitment effort.
Oh boy.
Organizers say conference is about freedom of choice. If you'll just indulge me for a second, I'll go quickly. A conference held Friday and today in Bozeman that organizers say promotes freedom of choice has been criticized by human rights proponents as an alt-right recruiting attempt. The Red Pill Expo, according to the conference's website, features speakers who will, quote, help you break free from the avalanche of propaganda, fake news, and outright deception, and to embrace reality for a better life, end quote. The speakers include authors, public relations directors, journalists, and activists. The conference schedule covers topics including healthcare, finance, climate science, globalization, and politics, according to the website. But Rachel Carol Rivas, co-director of the Montana Human Rights Network, said the wide-ranging topics are purposefully, which is an incorrect use of the word, it should just be purposely, but they've all picked up on purposefully, just the same way they say it's very concerning, which is also a moronic usage, designed to recruit people to white supremacist or alt-right causes. Alt-right is a term embraced by some white supremacists and white nationalists to refer to their ideology, which emphasizes preserving and protecting the white race in the United States, which I personally don't have a problem with since everybody seems to be protecting all the other races, so I don't see why the white folks should be left out, but maybe that's just me. Carol Rivas said in a statement Thursday that organizers for the event hope to find people who will attend due to being interested in one topic and then be exposed to the wider right-wing agenda. So Carol Rivas wrote, folks should know what they are paying for when they walk in the door. Many well-meaning people may not have had their guard up about this event, but they should. And then Debbie Bacigalupi, a volunteer for the conference who's listed on its website as manager for exhibitors and sponsors, said she didn't even know what the term alt-right meant. She said the event welcomed people of all political backgrounds and people should not be criticizing the event for the attendance to see what's going on. But here's the other part, and then I'll cut to the chase here. The convention's chairman, the convention's chairman, G. Edward Griffin, is the founder of Freedom Force International, which, according to its website, is a network of men and women who are concerned over loss of personal liberty and growth of government power. The name of the expo is taken from a line in the reality-bending sci-fi movie The Matrix. Now, the website states, in spite of differences in culture, nationality, race, religion, lifestyle, education, and economic status, we are in solidarity with the Creed of Freedom, which is a statement of principles that guide us in our mission. Okay. So a link on the organization's website says Red Pill Expo because you know something is wrong. The event in Bozeman is being held at the Commons. Organizers said tickets were sold out, and Caravan to Midnight had a lot to do with that. Carol Rivas said the term red pill taps into a ready-made crowd of extremists. In her written statement, she said, the name of the event is frequently used by the alt-right to indicate that its followers are the only ones who know the truth about what's really going on in America today. And here's the last line. There is no reason Bozeman needs to put out the welcome mat for a gathering like the Red Pill Expo that builds off of conspiratorial tendencies and props up extremists.
Wow.
This is a set of brazen, barefaced lies. And by the way, folks, it's barefaced, not bald face. Okay? So, there you have it.
It's so true, John. And that is a good example to tie into. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago related to the Southern Baptist Convention meeting, their annual meeting, where a resolution came to the floor. And the resolution had exactly to do with what you're talking about. And I'll I'll read two of the paragraphs from the resolution. It says, there has arisen in the United States a growing menace to political order and justice that seeks to reignite social animosities, reverse improvements in race relations, divide our people, and foment hatred, classism, and ethnic cleansing, end quote. Now, after I read that, I wrote in the article, for many Americans, this writer included, and I won't give the pastor's name that brought the resolution to the floor, but he perfectly described the 8-year reign of terror known as the Obama presidency, because that's exactly what Obama did. But then he goes on with the resolution, quote, this toxic menace, self-identified among some of its chief proponents as white nationalism and the alt-right, must be opposed for the totalitarian impulses, xenophobic biases, and bigoted ideologies that infect the minds and actions of its violent disciples. And I thought, this is coming from the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant evangelical, allegedly conservative denomination in America, and this was narrowly defeated. It received 58% support. It only needed 66% to be adopted. We've got a problem, John, in America, when Christians think that the alt-right has something to do with white supremacist nationalism and has nothing whatsoever to do with trying to advance the truth and get people to wake up to what's really happening. We've got a problem in the church today.
Well, I'd say follow the money.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, here's the thing. But for the grace of the Lord, I would be the angriest black man to ever walk around in America.
Yeah.
But I can also tell you that if there was so much as a fraction of my personality in that black young man who is angry, I would look around and decide whose program I really want to get with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody has their, first of all, James Watson, the DNA scientist, was vilified for a statement that he made, which is that there is no universal law that states that people who lived great distances from each other all evolved at the same rate.
Right. Right.
Who can argue with that?
Right.
Okay? I mean, you could look across town. The ones who grew up in the poor section of town, there are going to be some stellar examples of overcoming your circumstance. But the majority are going to continue in poor ways. You know that expression, poor folks got poor ways.
Yeah.
Well, rich folks have got some poor ways too, but they are generally more productive. But is it jealousy or what is it? I mean, when you look at this Kudenhove, Kudenhove initiative about the mongrelization of everybody except the elites,
yes,
who will run things.
Yes. Yeah,
they even mentioned that there will be no more discrimination based on IQ or anything else. And then you go to 1984, where, oh, it's such a delight to take words out of the lexicon because before long there won't be any words in the lexicon that can be used to insult anybody.
Yes, so true.
Are you wrestling a bear?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I don't think white people have accomplished very much at all, frankly. The only thing they did was come out of the cave and make steel, mm-hmm, build ships that sail on top of the water, build ships that go under the water, go to the moon, split the atom, cure disease, and build civilization. Otherwise, other than that, they haven't done anything. So you'll notice that every black man who has become a success abandoned the ghetto mentality and went out into the world to improve himself, to be prosperous, to be productive,
yes,
and to make a good life for himself and his family. The ones who cling to the hateful rap music, which who could imagine that would have been allowed, you know, like Cop Killer and all this other stuff. I mean, who said that was okay? Well,
right.
The leftists.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to haul Frank Zappa in for obscenity,
mm-hmm,
but they let all this stuff about, raping women and shooting cops. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, can nobody see, except for you and me, that this is planned?
Right.
Look, before you can hook somebody on dope, what do you have to do? You got to get them to take some. Before you can hook somebody on porn, what do you got to do? You got to get them to look at some.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done.
That's
and
exactly
when you
right.
get the authorities by paying them off to allow people to take some and look at some, so to speak, then you know that it's all by design. This isn't just some spontaneous revelation that, say, what we need to do is rape and pillage and destroy white culture. That's what we need to do. We didn't make it about race. They did.
Right.
We've never made it about race. They did.
Yeah.
3% of the population of this country owned slaves back in the 19th century. The first slave owner was, in fact, a black man who lost his slave, went to court, and got him back.
Mm.
And all this stuff about Civil War being fought over slavery is simply not true.
Right.
If you don't believe me, everybody can look it up. It's not true.
Right.
That came in at the very end of things to tip the scales. The humanitarian aspect of it came in then.
Yeah.
And I would advise everyone to look at what happened to South Africa and notice the picture of George Soros standing next to his willing dupe, F.W. de Klerk. Mm. And that country has descended into failure and chaos.
Yeah.
And we did it. Why did we do it? They didn't want to be part of the central banking system.
Yes.
They were a nuclear-armed power. They wanted no part of NATO. Well, that's just not going to work. So you're not going to play ball with us? We'll destroy your country. Your women will be raped and murdered. And your men will be, well, what the Zulus do to people that they conquer. They turn them inside out.
Yeah.
So people need to get a grip and get away from their TV set and understand you're facing some real challenges here. And they will. If you don't wake up and get ahead of your airplane, you're going to crash.
Yeah.
You're going to crash, and you're going to end up in a burning hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So some of my words strike people like steel. This guy sent an email that said, you know, oh, I get one every once in a while that say, well, you hate gay people. It's like, I don't hate gay people at all. I was a theater major. I know a lot of gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Do I like what they do? No. Do I like being leched on by another man? No. So this other man writes that every time I hear you make a little mocking statement about a Bruce Jenner or somebody like that, say, you know what, I feel like a woman today. I'm John B. Wells, and I feel like a woman today. I think I'm going to put on a nice bra and panty set. He goes, and when I hear you talk about some man painting his toenails, it just sends a chill through me. It's like, pal, I got some news for you. I don't care what you do. I just don't expect for you to attempt to drag the civilization down to where no matter what warped act is performed, that we're going to label it normal.
Yeah.
You know, we've had enough of this.
Mm-hmm.
Normal is now abnormal.
Yeah.
And common sense is completely uncommon to the point that it's rare. But that's the agenda.
Yeah.
You destroy everything.
Yeah.
You destroy everything that was traditional. Destroy the family. Destroy the morals. Destroy everything. Mm-hmm. All wide open. Just do what you want.
Yeah.
Along with that, how does this one grab you, Mike? I just think God wants me to be happy. How do you respond to that?
Here's what I respond, and I've done this a number of times over the years, John. God is not interested in you being happy. If you survey the scriptures, what God is interested in is you being holy. He is interested in you living a righteous life. In fact, the Bible says that God is about the business of conforming you into the image of his Son. He's trying to make you more like Jesus every day. He's not interested in whether or not you are happy about that. He wants to make you holy. That's a big, big difference, John.
That's a huge difference.
Huge difference. Yeah.
It really is.
It really
is. You know, to be Christian and to try to be as much like Lord Jesus as you can does not mean you're going to be a boring person who walks around in frumpy clothes.
Correct.
That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that you're going to lead a boring and square life. Just and just walk around just like you don't really want to do it. People will have you think that, have you believe, if they can get away with it, that Christianity is about restriction
right.
when it's not.
It
it's about freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Freedom.
It's about not dying in a fallen state.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. I mean, there is no time in eternity. You're just there. Much like this drug that they've invented in the UK, If they administer this drug to you, it will make you feel that you have been in prison for 1,000 years.
Wow. Hadn't heard
Check
this.
It out. Yeah. Look it up. No, it's real. They do a lot of weird stuff down at Portendown. Wow. They really do. Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy right there. Wow.
So you're just separated from God forever, meaning you can't even measure time because where you are, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
You don't want that. And the other part, Mike, is what if we're right? What if you're right mm-hmm. with what you preach?
Yeah.
What if I'm right with what I preach? I'm not mm-hmm. a preacher or a minister, but I still pop off about it.
Yeah.
What if we're right? Are people really willing to risk that?
Yeah. Many are. And that's a sad commentary on where we're at today.
Well, they've made their choice.
They have made their choice.
That's that whole free will thing.
Yeah. Well, the point that, folks, the point that John has been making, and he's made it very, very clear, and he's made it very, very strongly, is this. We have a responsibility as Americans to safeguard our freedoms and our liberties, even if that means that we have to stand up and take to the streets. Now, that may sound strange to some listeners coming from a pastor. I think the church has fallen down on the job in these days. There are too many pastors that are more concerned about the numbers, because numbers translate into dollars, and dollars translate into more buildings and all of that stuff. They're more interested in that than they are standing behind their pulpits and telling the people that are looking at them the truth of what's going on in our government, the truth of what the agendas really are. And I think it's high time for pastors to stand up and be bold and proclaim the truth. It's not about a popularity contest. It isn't about the number of fannies in the pews. If people leave and go somewhere else, then you'll be left with the true believers and those that will become involved and do something to turn this nation around. We have a responsibility as citizens, and we have a responsibility as Christians not to sit by idly and watch our nation go down the proverbial toilet.
Not only that, but we can be complicit even if we don't know. It's that ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yes.
And when you look at what was foisted upon us with this character, whatever his name really is, Barry Satoru or Barack Obama, or whatever it is. Mm. Barack is the name of Muhammad's horse. Mm. They continue to refer to Barack Obama in some circles as a Manchurian candidate. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, and I'd like to say it on your program. Sure. A Manchurian candidate does not know what he's going to do until he gets the trigger. A certain song, the lady in the polka dot dress, whatever it might be, that walks through the audience.
Yeah.
Then he does something that he had no idea he was going to do, like go grab his deer rifle and punch somebody out. All right?
Yeah.
Barack Obama was a Trojan horse.
Yes.
Barack, Muhammad's horse, Trojan horse. Coincidence? Yeah, kind of an interesting one. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. What happened to Joan Rivers after she said, we've already had our first gay president with Barack Obama? Well, less than 2 weeks later, she was dead.
Yeah.
And and it was a very routine operation that was not authorized. Somebody did it anyway, and she just died, and that was the end of that.
Yep.
And it's well known. I mean, we've had people on Caravan to Midnight. One lady came on there and talked about knowing him when he was in Hawaii and said he was as gay as could be. He was always doing blow, you know, cocaine, nose mm-hmm. candy, mm-hmm. smoking pot and all of that stuff. And frankly, I've never seen shoulders like the one calling himself Michelle in my life on any woman ever, not even a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. How about that Podesta, that email between the person calling themselves Michelle Obama and John Podesta
yeah.
about Barack taking her for ice cream because he wanted to impress her, you know, wink, wink,
yeah.
and all this stuff. And it was so wonderful. And now that we have marriage equality, John, we'd really like for you to jump on our bandwagon so we can push this agenda forward. Marriage equality. I think we just got duped by having a gay couple in the White House. And then when gay marriage was legalized, light up the White House in gay colors.
Wow.
Because we allowed this and did not protest, that's on us. And I don't think the Lord is going to let us slide on our responsibility to not allow an improper president to sit in the chair of power. But we did it anyway.
Yeah.
And now the leftists are all, if you could say anything to Barack Obama, what would you say? Thank you, President Obama. And who ever heard of somebody moving 2 miles away from the White House, and he's got Valerie Jarrett living in there with him?
Mm-hmm.
Because he thinks that he's the next Nelson Mandela, who was a murdering communist and killed exponentially more black people than white people.
Yeah,
I was there for 16 years, from 84 to 1999, well, through 2000. I saw it during apartheid, and I saw it after apartheid. But what people don't realize is that apartheid is just, it's segregation. It's aparthood. That's what we have in the United States with states' rights. And I will also tell you this. The very thing that took South Africa down was when everything was federalized. A couple of the countries said, no, we're not doing it. That's Swaziland and I think Namibia. They didn't do it. But once it was federalized, here, our states' rights are gone. Oh, we have a little bit of leeway, but the states' rights as freestanding states, that's gone because we're federalized now. South Africa is the model for what they want to deliver here. Research it. Don't trust a thing I say. Look it up for yourself. Do your own research. Do not rely on anybody as some kind of a messiah unless it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's only one messiah.
Yes, amen.
And there is, and he is the only one who by himself can appear and save whatever he wants, just as his Father in heaven does whatever he wants. Yes. He does as he pleases.
Yes.
It's we God does not, and nor Jesus, they do not require our protection. We require their protection. And I submit to you that the reason Donald Trump is president now is because a lot of people were praying.
Yes.
He has said, if you will turn from your evil ways, I will hear you from heaven and I will heal your land. Well, we got a temporary stay of execution. So let's not decide. Problem's gone. Don't need God anymore.
Right. Yeah, that would be a horrible decision.
Worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And one last thing about pride. I decided I would look up what pride meant. What do you mean pride? Pride cometh before a fall. Oh, this person had pride. The devil has pride. What is this? So I got into it. Took 5 minutes. Pride, one definition is a sense of satisfaction over an achievement. Contentment at reaching a goal. But the pride that is the dangerous pride is our rejection of the proposition that we rely on God for everything, including our very next breath.
Yes.
That's the dangerous pride. That's the one that'll get you separated from Father for eternity.
Amen.
And that's a long time because there is no time in eternity.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'll leave you with that.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect, John. Well, I hope and pray, folks, that you'll take what John discussed tonight to heart and then take action. Don't just say, yeah, I agree. Get up and do something about it. That's the point that we were making continually through this. John, before we go, I know that you're doing some different things at Caravan to Midnight. I noticed that Dr. Dave, is it Janda or Janda?
He just says Janda.
Janda is going to be joining the lineup there. Did I see two nights a week? Is that correct?
Yes. You know, it's amazing. He's been doing his program, Operation Freedom. He's a surgeon. Operation Freedom. Get it?
Perfect.
He's been doing that out of WAM, W-A-A-M, 1600 out of Ann Arbor, I think since 2010. Yeah. And so now, so he does that radio program on Sundays. I do the terrestrial adjunct to Caravan to Midnight, call it Ark Midnight, because I did that whole mothership thing and on the bridge and all that. It's slightly confusing, but not really. That's 9 to midnight Central Time on radio station KLIF, and you can just go to their server, KLIF.com, and hear it. And we always post those shows on YouTube as soon as we can afterwards, because we're exhausted by the time we go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. But
no doubt.
But when you think about it, so we do Caravan to Midnight, I host Tuesday through Friday and then do Ark Midnight over the terrestrial airwaves on Saturday. So that's 5 shows. Dr. Dave does Monday and Thursday on Caravan and then his own radio show. So you get altogether 8 programs per week. We're on episode 766 today, I believe.
Wow.
And it's $60 for the year. It's absolutely unbeatable. We are completely and totally member supported. It is the greatest audience anybody could ever hope to have. Best audience on this or any other planet, as I like to say. So we ask you to take a look at our YouTube channel. You're going to like it. We post our news segments every day. We give that away for free because some people cannot afford $5 a month. It seems like a stretch to many of us, but it's some people's reality. And still, as soon as they get the money, they join us because they find it helpful. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful people. They help each other. I read a letter from a person today. I don't want to say whether it's a man or a woman. I just don't want to embarrass them or put them on the spot. But this person's had all kinds of health problems and everything else and had financial difficulties, but was a teacher teaching the unteachable, according to the school system, never let them know what she was doing. And she said, I'm not a rich person. But I would like for you to give this $60, put this $60 toward a membership, and I would like for it to be a veteran because my father was on the beaches of Normandy on D-Day, and I'm so proud of him and every veteran out there.
Yes.
Wow. This is the kind of people you're in league with. They're wonderful people. You know, every once in a while we get somebody that's a little cranky, but all we have to do is talk to them for a minute, and then they go, oh, I'm sorry, I was just, you know, I was ticked off about something else. Right. I'm sorry. I mean, it's a great family.
Yeah.
And we welcome people into it all the time. And you'll hear people say, we're free from corporate influence. No, you're not. We're not attached to the mainstream media. You are the mainstream media. Well, we're not. And talking about
that's for sure.
Talking about global communism is what got me kicked off Coast to Coast. And we talk about it all the time, but not to the point where people get sick of it. We just want people to understand what's happening to them.
That's right. Caravan to Midnight. Caravan2midnight.com.
Yep, and the response has been amazing, and we just welcome everybody to at least try us out.
Yes. Please do that, folks, if you haven't already. John is the real deal, and he's not going to steer you wrong. You're going to get the straight scoop every time you tune in, and I'm sure that Dr. Dave is in the same mold.
He's brilliant. Yeah. He is brilliant. He's a great interviewer, and he is a brilliant thinker, and we just love him. And he is he's the first one to join us on our platform, and I think he was just an astoundingly good choice.
Yes, amen. Well, John, I really appreciate you joining me and staying for an extended conversation. I think it was very valuable information and encouragement. What you had to say was spot on and very encouraging. So, folks, go to caravanamidnight.com, subscribe to the show, and I guarantee you won't be sorry. John, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, and God bless you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.